Welcome to the CSIS podcast. I'm Colm Quinn. This week, 28 people were killed after a car bomb exploded beside a military convoy in the Turkish capital of Ankara. It's the fourth large-scale bombing Turkey has experienced since the summer. And while the last three bombings were blamed on ISIS, the Turkish government blamed Syrian Kurds for this latest blast. But that explanation was further complicated after a Kurdish military group within Turkey called TAK claimed responsibility for the bombing. Much like the conflict in neighbouring Syria, if it sounds complex, it's because it is. On one side, you have the AKP, the party of Recep Erdogan, and the current ruling party in Turkey. On another side, you have the PKK, or Kurdish Workers' Party, designated a terrorist organisation by Turkey and the United States. They themselves are not to be confused with the PYD, a Syrian Kurdish party who are aligned with the YPG, an armed force of Syrian Kurds. Turkey would like the US to name the YPG a terrorist organisation, but due to their successes in fighting the Islamic State in Syria, the US have refrained from doing so. And with Turkey also being a key contributor in the fight against ISIS, as well as acting as a sort of halfway house for fighters entering Syria, Turkey's role in the region is critical. So what is Turkey dealing with, and who are the players involved? To help us understand it all is Dr. Bülent Alireza, the director of the Turkey Project at CSIS.
The PKK has denied responsibility for it. The YPG has denied responsibility for it. But today, an outfit, very little known, obscure, part of the Kurdish military movement, which identifies itself as the Falcons of the Kurdish fighters, TAK, to use this Kurdish acronym, claimed responsibility for it. It remains to be seen whether this will lead the Turkish government to move away from its initial position that this was in fact the YPG, or whether they will say that the Kurdish terrorism, whatever label it chooses to announce itself as, is all part and parcel of the same group that we're fighting with. PKK, in other words, the PKK is equal to the YPG, is equal to whatever this group TAK is. So we now moved into a different phase of the Turkish fight against the Kurdish terrorism within its borders. And we've also veered away from the attribution to ISIS of the terrorist outrages in the major cities in Turkey, which was the case with the previous three attacks that Turkey witnessed since last July.
With the YPG being so successful beyond the Turkish-Syrian border and kind of gaining ground, is there a danger that this could escalate militarily, that the YPG's gains would be seen as a threat to Turkey internally?
That's the Turkish fear, which it is as it is expressing more and more volubly, in statements within its borders and in its own dealings with the outside world, particularly the United States. It is saying that that my fight against the PKK is actually has been made more difficult by the fact that the YPG, which is linked to the PKK, is now in a de facto alliance, not only with Russia, but also with the Assad regime on the one side, but also with the United States on the other. And Turkey has become increasingly unhappy over the fact that the U.S. government has announced and has maintained a position in which it differentiates between the PKK, which, like Turkey, the United States considers to be a terrorist organization, and the YPG, which it says is considered a terrorist organization only by Turkey, and with which it has maintained and says that it will continue to maintain a cooperative relationship in Syria, fighting against ISIS, because the reality is that that the YPG has fought well against the ISIS forces, particularly in Kobani in 2014, when it held off massive assaults by ISIS and with the help of the U.S. air campaign, fought them off and has established control over most of the area beyond the Turkish border. And frankly, the U.S. sees it as the boots on the ground that it's unwilling to send. And as a result, Washington has been unwilling to listen to the requests from Turkey to designate the YPG a terrorist organization, to desist from further cooperation, And the Turkish president has actually taken to denouncing the U.S. policy in this regard and saying, in effect, has said it explicitly, that as an ally, the United States has to choose between Turkey and the YPG because it could not support both.
Obviously, this attack is a terrible tragedy, but is there a hint of political opportunism then on Erdogan's part in labeling the perpetrators as the YPG, when now it's coming out on the other side that it was a Turkish-Kurdish movement? Did they perhaps move too fast? Does this show their hand a little bit in how the Turkish government is trying to paint this conflict?
Well, President Erdogan has been very explicit after the attack in saying that now we hope that our allies, and in particular the United States, will see the YPG for what it is and will act appropriately. But even after the attack, the statements coming out of Washington, both out of the White House and the State Department, was that we cannot yet determine, unlike Turkey, it said we cannot yet determine who it is who did this with any certainty, and also saying that we will continue to cooperate with the YPG. So, yeah, you know, the situation that was one that Turkey was unhappy with before, namely the U.S. unwillingness to break with the YPG as Turkey wanted, seems set to continue afterwards. And obviously, you know, this is going to cause further strains in the U.S.-Turkish relationship. And the fact that President Erdogan and President Obama talked today was one more evidence of the strains in the relationship that the dialogue at the highest level has not been able to eradicate. Because the two presidents met at the G20 summit in Turkey in October. And they talked about this issue, as Erdogan has confirmed. Then they talked again at the climate summit in Paris, the beginning of December. And again, the subject was broached. And the third high-level meeting involved a discussion with Vice President Biden when he visited Turkey at the end of January. In spite of a discussion at the highest levels and the presentation of evidence by Turkey, as President Erdogan has confirmed to both the President of the United States and his Vice President, the U.S. has not budged from its position of supporting the YPG. And it remains to be seen whether the attack is going to change that. Now, if there is further confusion about who it was who did it because of the announcement by TAK that it did this, in other words, tying it to a splinter group from the PKK, which represents the Turkish Kurds, as opposed to the YPG, the Syrian Kurds, which Turkey speculated about, that would just muddy the waters even more.
And do you have any recommendation then for how the U.S. should be dealing with this? Because it seems like an almost impossible task to be able to keep one side happy, who's literally fighting ISIS on the ground, and keep the other side happy that is helping you also fight ISIS through the air.
Yeah, complicated story, and it's going to get even more complicated for decision makers in Washington. To give you one example of how they're trying to square the circle, when the Geneva conference was, the most recent Geneva conference was convening in January, Turkey took a very tough stand on the invitation that was issued to the PYD, the parent organization on whose behalf the YPG fights. And as a result, the invitation was rescinded. And even though the PYD slash YPG is an important component of the fight against ISIS, it was not at the table in Geneva. So what did the U.S. do within a few days? Brett McGurk, who was the special envoy in the fight, special envoy of the president, no less, in the fight against ISIS, went to Kobani, the Syrian Kurdish area, had publicized meetings with the PYD political leadership and the YPG commanders, which, you know, he put on his own Twitter account, much to the annoyance of Turkey. So the U.S. is trying to balance its ongoing relationship with Turkey, which involves, as you said, the opening up of İncirlik Airport, air base, for strikes against ISIS, and cooperating with the YPG on the ground against ISIS. And One additional difficulty that the U.S. has is that the PYD, YPG, is also involved in a close relationship with Moscow. The Russians have intervened directly in the Syrian war since they started bombing on September 30th, and particularly with the Afrin canton, which is separated from the larger Kurdish canton in northern Syria. It's the Russians who've been dropping supplies, apparently, who've been sending in bombers to help the Kurds, the Kurdish fighters, Syrian Kurdish fighters who are in there, to expand eastwards into the area between the two Kurdish cantons that Turkey has vowed will not be connected. Turkey has said that it's a red line, and we will not allow that to happen. Now, the U.S., for its part, which has special forces in the main Kurdish canton around Kobani, has apparently urged the Kurds not to move westwards into that corridor. But the Russians have no such reservations, and they've apparently been urging the Syrian Kurds to move eastwards into that corridor. And that is what's caused the tensions, additional tensions in U.S.-Turkish relationship, because Turkey is saying the YPG needs to be stopped, otherwise we may well intervene. Turkey has been shelling YPG sites around the town of Azaz and the Minag Air Base, which the YPG captured, for 5 days, in spite of the urging of the Security Council and the Washington and France, among its many allies, who have been saying, you know, this is not helpful in the fight against ISIS. So, you know, one safe prediction that one can make even at this stage is that it's going to get more complicated.
Abulent, to finish up, the last time we spoke was about the HDP, this pro-Kurdish coalition group who'd managed to gain enough votes to enter parliament and kind of be a representative of the Kurds within Turkey. How does that situation play into the Turkish government's thinking?
Well, the HDP is the successor to a series of Kurdish political parties that were established, which were banned, which succeeded in doing what its predecessors could not do, which is to get more than 10% of the vote required for nationally to get representation in the Turkish Grand National Assembly. It did this fairly easily in June. And then what we had was the resumption of fighting against the PKK. The HDP then said that this was tied to its success in the elections. And the goal of the ruling AKP, headed by President Erdogan, was to actually exacerbate tensions and to gain electoral advantage. Now, this was vigorously denied by both Erdogan and the AKP. Nonetheless, in the elections in November, after 4 months of heavy fighting in the southeast, which made it very difficult for the HDP to campaign, the HDP barely managed to maintain its representation in the National Assembly by getting just over 10% of the barrier. Now, the Turkish government has been negotiating with the PKK through its imprisoned leader, Abdullah Öcalan, who was sentenced to death, but it was not carried out for a number of years now. The peace process was really a product of the negotiations between Erdogan and Öcalan indirectly. But it broke down in July with the attack in Suruç against the Kurds and its aftermath. There was an opportunity to negotiate with the HDP, just as the British government negotiated with Sinn Féin in Ireland. Now, sure, Sinn Féin had a relationship with the Provisional IRA, but including through some of its leaders. But the British government refused to focus on that, dealt with them only as a political party, and then, in effect, set in motion the series of events that actually culminated with a ceasefire. In this case, the Turkish government chose to negotiate with the imprisoned leader of the PKK, disregarded the HDP in the process, except as a mailman between Öcalan's prison and the PKK leadership in the Kandil Mountains in northern Iraq, and then denounced them and say, by saying that they would not come out against PKK terrorism. Now, the fact is that the HDP is still represented in the National Assembly, but their situation is becoming more and more untenable as the tensions are rising in the southeast. There are moves against the HDP leaders to strip them of their immunity and to send them to jail, just as previous Kurdish political leaders had been sent to jail. Now, the danger here is that if the fighting against the PKK continues, and it's very heavy in the Kurdish southeast, but then also expands beyond Turkey's borders, in effect, because the YPG is effectively linked to the PKK, or even if it isn't, it is now finding that it has a common foe in the Turkish government because of the Turkish government's position in the northern Syria. The danger is that the Kurdish problem is going to be even more difficult and intractable for the Turkish government to settle. And the ability of the Turkish government to deal with the Kurdish problem within its own borders is even more difficult, if not impossible, because of the fact that there is more attention to the Kurdish question, broadly defined, with all its international aspects, than ever before, because the YPG is fighting against ISIS, which is perceived to be a threat throughout the world, from Washington to Moscow, through Europe and elsewhere. And the Turkish government is finding it almost impossible to persuade its allies that the YPG is linked to the PKK and therefore should be shunned, in effect, raising questions over the support that its Western allies have given to it in the fight against the PKK for over 30 years. Where we come back to the THDP is that hopefully at some stage the political negotiations will resume, that the guns will fall silent, within Turkey's borders at least, and then the HDP will emerge as interlocutors in the process with the Turkish government. But as of now, that seems to be a prospect far off in the horizon, because the Turkish government seems unwilling to take the HDP as legitimate interlocutors.
And that was Bulent Ali Riza, bringing us to the end of this week's show. We'll of course be back with more next week, so until then, thanks for listening.